All right, so we're looking at NTI Acts chapter 20, which in my Kindle, I'm at Philippians, so I have to go back to Acts chapter 20. What page do you guys have?
249.
Okay, 249. I'm actually still much faster at finding a page with a paper book than I am with a Kindle. So here we are. All right, so here we go. After the loosening has occurred, and remember Acts chapter 19 said that while we're listening to teachers and reading books, what's happening is beliefs that we've always had are starting to be loosened. After the loosening has occurred, you enter the second stage of the path. Many aspects of this stage are the same as the first. For there are still thoughts within the mind that need to be loosened. But because a great loosening has occurred, it is also time to begin letting go of the thoughts you do not want anymore. So these stages overlap, you know, so the loosening continues to occur, but there's been enough loosening that you can start letting go. And in fact, a vision that I had really early on the spiritual path was a vision of being in a wind tunnel. And in the wind tunnel, there was this brick wall that was almost completely blocking the wind so that it couldn't blow through the tunnel. Except at the very top, a couple of bricks had been loosened, and that was just a little bit of breeze was coming through there. But in the vision, I understood that what was going to happen was that Holy Spirit was going to loosen these bricks for me. And as Holy Spirit loosened these bricks, I was to take them down off the wall. And of course, eventually there would be no wall at all, and the wind, which was love, would just blow through unobstructed. So the bricks and the wall are really our beliefs, you know, our attachments, our values, that type of thing. And what happens as we are on the spiritual path is some of those beliefs become loosened, where, you know, we read something maybe enough times, we start to say, you know, and we don't believe as firmly in something that we once believed in very firmly. That's when the bricks are loosened. Once they're loosened, then what happens is at some point we can actually just completely let them go. And so that's the second stage, is learning this process of letting go of those loosened beliefs. Verses 7 to 12. The light is within you, and so you have nothing to fear as you begin the work of looking at your loosened thoughts and letting them go. A voice within you will tell you that to look at these thoughts is death, but to look at these thoughts is not death. And you know, that sounds a little scary, but at a practical level, at a practical level, not a scary haunted house level, right? At a practical level, that's true. You know, what you may find is, especially like in a couple relationship, you guys are the best example, you know, what you may find in your relationship is that, you know, at some point you come to a conflict because you hold separate values. And if you go into, you know, go into within, you may feel Holy Spirit hinting to you just to let go of your value, you know, just, you know, this is causing you a conflict because you really value this. Just let go of the value and there'll be no conflict, which is really quite easy, except the ego starts saying, but what about me? What about me? What about me? You know, if I just... What about me? That's right. You know, the ego just is like, what's going to happen to me if I just keep letting go of my values and my beliefs? That's what this is talking about, this voice in you that tells you it's going to be death. So it's not like a haunted house scary. It's actually a very practical message. You know, the ego says, if I just keep letting go of everything, pretty soon I'm not going to be here anymore, which is true. It's not even wrong about that. Right. You know, what's wrong about that is that that's not a good thing. I mean, you know, that idea that it's not a good thing, that it's a bad thing, that's what's wrong. The truth is, when the ego is gone, that's when the love is unobstructed, right? So at a very practical level, there's a voice in you that's going to tell you to start looking at these things and letting go of them is death, and it's going to want you to cling to your values and cling to your beliefs because that's what makes you you, right? Yeah.
Yeah, Tona recently
shared a thought about an experience we had both had where you can feel you're letting go of yourself and it kind of feels like regret.
Yeah, I've experienced that. A sadness, kind of.
Yeah.
I was thinking it's more like grieving gratefully.
Yes. It's a grieving. Yeah, I've experienced that. I know exactly what you're talking about. So there may come a point where you begin to grieve.
Yeah, but it feels great.
Yeah, yeah. It's not. It's not a bad thing. But yeah, I've experienced that. Yeah. So. All right. Starting with sentence 3. Within your mind, there is a thick web of beliefs that seem to have been developed over time. I spoke to you of how these beliefs have come to be. And he's referring to back in Luke, I believe it was chapter 16 or 17. I spoke to you of how these beliefs have come to be, meaning, believed and judged, and then reapplied as meaning, has created a world of illusion within the mind. It is through this illusion that you sleep. So to let go of the illusion is to be awakened. So sentence 5, just very briefly, I'll just use the example of a clean house, right? At some point, you know, some of us were told a clean house is good, a dirty house is bad. You know, we learned this from our parents or somebody. Some of us, not all of us, right? We learned this. A clean house is good. You know, I remember my mother cleaning every morning. You know, every day started with 2 hours of cleaning the house. And then there was this quarterly major cleaning where we moved the furniture and cleaned everything, you know. Cleaning was very, very important. And so there was meaning applied to the act of cleaning that was more than just cleaning. You know what I mean? The meaning applied was like, you're worthy if you're clean. You're good if you're clean, right? I mean, lots of meaning was applied more than just clean. And then that meaning was believed. And then as life goes on, you walk in somebody else's house who doesn't have that same value system. There's a judgment. Ooh, they're not clean, right? And it just keeps building. It just keeps building. And it becomes a very strong value, a very part of who you think you are. And, of course, you know, that's only one example. So by learning a meaning or by accepting a meaning and then believing that meaning and then continuing to reapply that meaning, that's how we make the bricks in the wall. Let's see, verses 13 to 24. Faith in me will help you in this phase of your path, for you will be severely tempted to turn away from all I have taught. To help you, let me explain the source of your temptation so that you will not be fooled. The temptation may seem to come from outside of you. It may seem to come from the reality of the world. But the world's reality is only a smokescreen over the illusion in your mind. Whatever pressure you feel from the world is temptation living within your own mind. So again, using the example of cleaning. You know, I'm one of those people that was raised with that value. I was raised with the value that to be clean is to be good. And I even remember, even though I always have a fairly clean house, I mean, with the exception of a few teenage years, you know, I kind of strayed then. But I've always had a fairly clean house. But I remember the cleaning ritual I used to go through if a guest was coming. It was just, and the stress, not just the cleaning ritual, but the stress of getting it, you know, absolutely perfect before the guest would come. You know, cleaning was really a big deal to me because if my house was not perfectly clean, I was bad. That was the connection that was being made in the mind. Well, at one point, I did live with someone else who didn't have this value one iota. I mean, not at all. Not even a hint of the value. This person had no problem with, you know, opening a drawer and taking things out of the drawers, actually rifling through the drawers to find what was wanted, so leaving things kind of hanging out of the drawers. When you find the item you want, walking away and just leaving it like that. And it didn't take long at all till the entire house was way beyond, you know, anything I'd ever lived in. Let's just put it that way. And this was extremely, extremely difficult for me. And so what happened for me at first was this idea of hatred, hating this other person for, you know, not living up to my values. But when I went to Holy Spirit about it, all Holy Spirit did was encourage me to let go of my values. Holy Spirit didn't say, you're right, teach him to be clean. If he's not clean, he's an asshole, you know? It didn't happen that way.
Really?
No, it didn't. Isn't that amazing? Holy Spirit didn't say, that's right, you're good, he's bad, you know? Holy Spirit encouraged me to let go of my value, that my value was in the way. And in fact, that was only one example. Holy Spirit encouraged me during that relationship to let go of many, many, many of these values. And what ended up happening was at some point, I lived with this person. Now, he did change slightly because he was also letting go, right? So he did change slightly. He actually got better. The house was less messy. At some point, he really did get better, but it was never up to what would have been Regina's original standard. So it kind of landed somewhere in the middle. And I learned to live with that middle. I was perfectly happy with that middle. I could have lived with that middle forever. What happened when he left was that I naturally went back to my way of being because that's my way of being. But I was able to live with someone who had a different way of being and live in peace and in joy because there's no truth to that value. That's only a personal belief. And the fact that there's no truth to the value, you can tell it when another individual can live in a completely different setting and be happy. If there was a truth to the value that you had to be clean to be good, everybody would have to be clean. Nobody could stand not to be. So the fact that some people really can stand not to be proves that's a made-up, imaginary value, right? Yeah.
I think it's really cool, like with preferences. Preferences, they're neither good nor bad. Just like you said, like after you were done, you went back to the way you preferred it.
Sure.
You just wouldn't keep it in place of the peace of God.
Right.
That's basically what it is.
Right, and a good example with preferences is that I love ice cream with like little Reese's kind of peanut butter and chocolate things in it. You know, I love vanilla ice cream with little Reese's in it. And I remember when I used to go to the ice cream store, well, first of all, I went through this whole thing in my head about the calories back then too. Calories were a big deal. And when I finally decided to have the calories, I wanted the perfect ice cream. Right? If I was going to sin, I wanted to sin right. And I remember when I would go to the ice cream store and they didn't always have my flavor, I remember how incredibly upset I got at that. You know, I just got crazy, crazy, crazy upset. Because I had decided to do this. I went through all kinds of trouble to decide to do this, and now they didn't have my favorite ice cream, and another ice cream just was not going to be as good, you know. At some point, obviously, I let all of that go. In fact, we went to a store the other day that didn't have my favorite. They didn't have the Moose Tracks, right? Did I get upset? No. It's still my favorite. You know, the preference never went away. It's more like the attachment to the preference went away. So if there's Moose Tracks in front of me, I'll probably take it. If there's not, I'll take something else. There's no longer this getting furious because my Moose Tracks isn't available, right? So, yeah, yours, well, no, you had your favorite ice cream.
No, I like Moose Tracks.
Oh, you wanted Moose Tracks yesterday?
Yeah. Before we go on, going to Baskin Robbins, 31, and tell the guy just give me whatever.
Yeah, give me whatever.
What do you like? This surprised me, and that'll definitely give you a good look at your preference.
I do that occasionally in restaurants. Usually in a restaurant, something will just jump out at me and I order that, but sometimes I'll go into a restaurant and nothing jumps out, and that's what I do when nothing jumps out. I ask the waiter, what do you like? And then I have whatever the waiter recommends. So I do that sometimes. Yeah. So let's see. Starting with sentence 6 at the top of the page. The world is the reflection of the desire for self-will. That is why there seems to be so many selves with a will of their own. The world is a perfect reflection of all it was made to be. But the world is a reflection of illusion based on the illusion believed within the mind. If you look at the world and believe it as true, you accept reinforcement of illusion in the mind. To let go of illusion is to let go of the world. It is the opposite of reinforcement. The source of your temptation is this. So again, this is something he started back where he talked about a temptation that may be outside of you. It comes from the reality of the world. And this would be a temptation to hold on to your beliefs and values. Now he's going to get to the source of that. The source of your temptation is this. There is a part of you that is willing for God's will and a part of you that is not. The part that is not is the voice of self-will, the voice that does not want to let go of the self. This voice loves the world because it is a reflection of its wishes. This voice maintains the world is true. So this voice is the source of all temptation. So again, going back to the story I was sharing a while ago about, you know, when my value of a clean house was challenged. When Holy Spirit was asking me to let go of my value, Holy Spirit actually taught me a very specific process. Because if I looked at the world the way I saw it through my filter, and of course my filter is dirtied by my value, right? But still, I see the world in a certain way. If I look at the world the way I see the world, I'm only going to see proof that clean is good and dirty is bad. My mom, when she calls me on the phone, is going to say something, you know. Somebody's going to walk in my house and I'll at least perceive a shock of look on their face when they see how messy it is. Or I'm going to continually see reinforcement from the world that I am right, that clean is good and not clean is bad. So that is the self-will that loves the world. Because the world continually reinforces that you are right to have your self-will, right? It's important to have your self-will. And you can always find people to tell you that you're right. You're always, always, always going to be able to find people to tell you that you're right, that you shouldn't let go of that value. If you let go of that value, people are going to take advantage of you, or it's going to be all chaos. That is the self-will. The world reinforces the self-will. So what Holy Spirit taught me was because the world reinforces the self-will, I couldn't look at the world when making my decision about looking at the, about letting go of the value. Instead, what Holy Spirit had me look at was how was the value really making me feel? What was the effect in me of this value? And at that point, the effect in me was pure hatred for someone else who wasn't allowing me to live up to this value, right? Who was in my way. And so then the question became, do you want the hatred? It wasn't, do you want a clean house? You know, it was, do you want the hatred? Do you really want to live with this hatred? And the answer became no, because the hatred was unbearable. And okay, if you, in order to get let go of the hatred, you also have to let go of this value. That the peace of God has to be more important to you than a clean house. And if a clean house is more important to you, you're going to continue to experience the hatred. That's going to be the effect. And so that's the way. So it wasn't looking at the world. It was looking within. It was turning to looking inside, right? What is the effect of this value on you? Most people never notice that some of the things they value the most, if not all of the things, but certainly some of the things they value the most, are the exact same things that cause them the most pain. They don't notice that because they're looking out and they're looking at a world that's reinforcing for them, you should believe that way, right? But if you look in, you start noticing how much pain your values are causing you, then you have to start questioning them a little differently. Are they really worth it? Is it worth it for me to be this unhappy, this, you know, this wrapped up in anxiety, or this wrapped up in hatred, or this wrapped up in whatever? Is the value really worth it?
Yes, yeah, you're just looking, you know, as if you're looking out, you're just looking at a reflection of what, you know.
Yeah, you're looking through your smudgy filter.
Right. You know, and you're looking at a temporary condition which is supposed to give you an evaluation of your worth.
Yes.
You know.
Yeah, looking out never works. You have to look in. What is this really doing to me? What is the effect? Is this making me perfectly happy? And often you find that with your values, it's not, it's just, they're not, you know. So, okay, so I'm going to start with sentence 17. You will see things in the world that will seem to be true. They will tempt you to hold on to your thoughts. But the world is the reflection of separate self-will. To listen to the world is to continue to accept illusion. So like I said, if I was to discuss the clean house with my mother or my father or, you know, a number of other people, they may have reinforced for me that it's true. I was right. The house needed to be clean. He deserved to be hated. Right? So, and all of that would have seemed true, right? If that's the direction I was looking in. I love this next paragraph. You must have faith in me above everything you see, hear, and experience in the world. This is to put true will above that of illusion. The temptation is temptation of illusion. To resist temptation is to desire the truth. So Holy Spirit is literally asking us to trust our inner guidance when we're learning from Spirit more than our mothers. More than, you know, if every relative and friend we ever had lined up and said, yes, that's true, yes, that's true, yes, that's true, and Spirit's saying, let go of that, trust Spirit more than all of our friends and relatives lined up, right? Because Spirit is saying, I know more than anything in the world about what's going to make you perfectly happy. And, you know, really, if you pay any attention to that, unless somebody has already listened to Spirit and let go of all of these things, the average person in the world, even though they may be telling you that you're right, you know, and that this is what's going to make you happy, if you really pay close attention to that average person is not perfectly happy, right? They have anxiety, they have, you know, all kinds of other issues going on in their life. So why would we listen to their counsel about what's going to make us happy and ignore Spirit's? You know, Spirit says, trust me above everything, above every experience you've ever had, above everyone you know. I'm the one who's going to lead you to perfect happiness. And so Spirit says, let go. And it sounds crazy, but if you really believe that a clean house is important, your value is linked, your personal value is linked to a clean house, it can be very difficult to let go of that value. And in fact, recently I taught at the Miracles in the Mountains conference, which had, 200 people there? And I happened to say this, something like this same kind of speech came out of my mouth, something about, you know, letting go of valuing a clean house. There were literally ladies in the audience that gasped, you know, like, oh my God, like, let go of my clean house, you know. It's true, they gasped. You know, so it can seem very difficult to let go of these values, but that's because we've turned them into bricks. We've made them so important, and then the world reinforces to us that we're right. Spirit's saying, trust me more than all of that. If you listen to me and you let go of this value, you're going to find that you're happy, even though right now that seems impossible, you know, because it seems like that's so important to you. The truth is, you will find happiness in taking those bricks down. That's where the joy is. Verses 25 to 31. The self-will will seem to fight desperately for its illusion. For illusion is the home of an illusory will. But be not fooled by the twists within its statements. Illusion is not truth, and you do not want an illusory will. So again, no telling what your thoughts are going to tell you while you're letting go of something that you've really valued. You know, everything's going to be chaos. You're going to be a doormat. No one's going to respect you. You know, la da 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 da. You know, and that's just self-will fighting for itself. That's all that is. It's nothing more than that. Watch your mind carefully and be alert to illusion. Be not fooled by the world. To let go of what you see, hear, and experience within the world is to let go of your thoughts of illusion. And to let go of the thoughts of illusion is to be released from illusion itself. This is what you want, because only the truth is true, and what you seek is truth. Now, this paragraph most directly was written to me, just like this entire book was. Not everyone seeks truth above all else. If someone does not seek truth above all else, they may not find joy in letting go of their values because they're not ready. This message is really for someone who seeks truth above all else. If you're at that state of readiness where you just want truth, then every time you take down another brick, you experience more of that truth. And then pretty soon you're like a mad person, just taking down as many bricks as you can, as fast as you can, because you're getting such a wonderful taste of the truth. But if the truth isn't what you want, then it may not seem to have the same effect. You know, if it's not what you want, then it's just not going to be satisfactory. So one thing that's really important is knowing what you want. That's really important. You have to know what you want. Do you want truth above all else? If so, learning to let go of your values as guided, let go of your beliefs as guided, this is going to bring you exactly what you want, and so it's going to make you happy. If you don't feel like you want truth above all else, if you still feel like, you know, some people still feel like, I want a romantic partner more, you know, I want to have kids more, I want money more, really, go ahead and try that out is the recommendation. If you think you want something more than truth, go down that road. Eventually, everyone will go down every road they thought they wanted, and they'll come back to wanting only truth, but then it's sincere. There's no sense in pretending like you want only truth when you really want to be married, you know? If that's really more important to you is what I mean. It's nothing wrong with getting married, but you guys understand, right? Just like there's nothing wrong with liking moose tracks, right? The question is, what's your true priority? So even though this is recommending letting go of the things that you value and the things that you believe, it's a recommendation that's being made to someone who has decided they want truth. And that's not a minor point, right? Verses 32 to 38. Do not fear that you are alone as you release your thoughts of illusion. Do not fear that you will be left with nothing. For the light of God is all that you are, and illusion is what you are not. In releasing illusion, you release only what is untrue. Nothing is lost to nothingness. And in releasing illusion, you give yourself all that is truth and you. So again, when you start taking down these bricks, especially I think in the beginning, you know, when you're not real experienced yet at I'll call it the reward of letting go of yourself, and you start letting go of things that you valued or believed in, you know, there really is, again, there's this voice, there's this fear that you're just letting go of yourself, which you are, but at this point you still believe that's who you are. So it's like something bad is going to happen, and you're just letting go of yourself. At some point, you begin to realize that's not you. What you were letting go of is only what you thought you were. You start to realize when more of the wind starts blowing through the tunnel, you start to realize you're the wind, you're the love. Then it's easier to let go because that's not you. But until you cross that threshold of realization, while you still think you are the person with the values and with the beliefs, it can feel extremely difficult to let go of those things. But once you've let go of enough anyway, just because something in you is driving you to, you come to a point where you cross a line where you realize, oh, that's not me. That's just a false self. That's not who I really am. Then it gets a lot easier to let go of things as you see they need to be let go. So it's almost like you cross a hump somewhere along the line. Yeah. Until the time when you do not need me, I am there, I am with you, guiding you and holding you. I am your comforter, your teacher, your love, and your guide. I am everything to you because I am your connection to truth. Turn to me during your trials and temptations. I will not let you down. I will accept the gift of your willingness and give you all that you ask. I am your support, and you are supported. Together we will undo what needs to be undone. You know, there's a lot of talk nowadays about non-duality and how there is no God And there is no Holy Spirit, there is only one, and ultimately that is the truth, and ultimately that's actually a very welcome truth. Like, it's, there's no better truth than that, you know? But if you haven't crossed the hump yet, right, to start talking about oneness and no God and no Holy Spirit just leaves you feeling alone and scared, and it's not any good. And the truth is, that which we think of as God or that which we think of as Holy Spirit is very real. It's just that it's not another. It's our true self, right? But until you cross the hump, you don't realize that's your true self because you still think you're the person. And to go saying there's no God, there's no Holy Spirit, that leaves you with nothing. So as long as you're still identified with the person, it's a whole lot better to have a God. It's a whole lot better to have a Holy Spirit. Whatever you perceive as divine help, the truth is that's yourself. You're communicating with yourself. But until you see that, to throw that away because there's so much non-duality talk in the world is not helpful. It is much more helpful to have a divine other. You know, whether that is Jesus, God, Holy Spirit, or something else, you know. Like in my case, Ramana Maharshi showed up. You know, it's very important to have an other. At some point, you'll cross a hump, and you'll see there was no other. That was your self, your divine self, your wisdom. And that's great, too.
I think it's helpful. For me, it's helpful. I use Jesus a lot. I like Ramana.
Yeah.
But mostly Jesus. And because I feel a connection.
Exactly.
You walk this, you know, you're going to walk on the Jesus trail.
Yeah.
You know, he walked this path, you know, and it's like, as soon as I connect, it's like, it doesn't even need words. It's just,
right.
All I have to say is his name, and it's like, I know what that means to me, you know, and it changes the energy, and I can feel it automatically.
You know, and one thing that's really interesting about the paragraphs that we just read is it says, until the time when you do not need me, I am with you. So this is really even showing that at some level, this divine other is an illusion. Because at some point, it's going to disappear. But it doesn't disappear until we're identified enough with ourselves to go on without a seeming other. And we never quit listening to the divine and rely on the ego. That's not what this means. It just means we've become the divine, and so we listen to ourself. Mm-hmm. Right?
Yeah. For me, I don't typically, you know, I'll use Jesus at different points.
Yeah.
I try to listen internally, you know, kind of intuitively, you know, and kind of feel it. But when I'm in the shit, I go, Jesus.
Yeah, help me. It's only been since I've lived here, I don't know whether a year ago or 2 years ago, maybe 2 years ago, sometime since I lived here, I crossed over and I no longer talk to an other. But it occurred very naturally. You know, I can't even like tell you what day it occurred. Like it just kind of naturally happened. And now I don't have a sense of an other anymore. But the exact same wisdom is still present. And I still turn to that wisdom. Right? But the idea of the wisdom coming from something has gone. I don't need that anymore. But as long as you need it,
right.
You know, it's here. Because the wisdom's always here. The only thing you're projecting onto it is the idea of another. Right? So... All right, so in all of that, we need to find an assignment. And of course, it's talking about being willing to let go of our values, our beliefs. It's talking about, in doing so, you know, don't look at the world for should you do this, because the world is going to agree with the self-will. It's talking about instead look within. Anybody have an idea of an assignment in that? A simple assignment, you know, to keep it simple, which actually I do like to keep it simple. A simple assignment might be this week see if there are any values that you're still holding to that create some level of upset in you. Just notice that. That might be a good assignment. Are there any values that you're still holding to that create some level of upset in you? Whether it's because the ice cream store is out of your favorite ice cream, or because the person you live with isn't as clean as you, or they want you to be cleaner than you are, or anything, you know? And then just notice, this value causes me upset. Nothing else at this point.